The Catholic bishops of England and Wales meet twice a year for full plenary sessions at Hinsley Hall in the Diocese of Leeds. They've just returned from their November 2011 meeting. The following audio comes from the press conference held at the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales in London on Friday, the 18th of November. First, you'll hear from Archbishop Vincent Nichols of Westminster, President of the Bishops' Conference, and later in the recording, Father Marcus Stock, its General Secretary, who reports back on issues surrounding Catholic education. Firstly, Archbishop Vincent Nichols.
Well, as you know, the bishops had their meeting, as is customary now, in Leeds from Monday afternoon till Thursday late morning. One of the first and most important things we talked about was the work of safeguarding vulnerable children and adults in the Catholic Church. We received a report from our National Catholic Safeguarding Commission. And in that report, they actually concentrated on a number of things, two of which were these. One, the ongoing work to align safeguarding work in dioceses and safeguarding work in religious orders. That might sound simple, but when I tell you there are over 300 different religious orders which enjoy exemption or autonomy from the bishop, it's not that simple. So there are 80, for example, in Westminster Diocese. And for about 18 months, we've been working on the kind of protocols and agreements and structures that would bring these different bodies in the church into an effective one church approach. The second thing that we concentrated on was our response to victims of abuse within the Catholic Church. And for the last 18 months, that National Safeguarding Commission has been working with representative groups of survivors and people who work with survivors to fashion a joint and agreed approach. Now, clearly, those two issues have come into very sharp relief over the last few days, over the last couple of weeks, particularly around the situation of Ealing Abbey and school, much less so with Ealing Parish. And therefore, I'd like to just talk a little bit more about particularly our response to victims of abuse. We listened to many of the bishops present speaking about their own personal experience of sitting down with victims of abuse and listening to them. And I would say every bishop in the room has done that and continues to do that. One bishop, for example, said that he has met with, I think it was, two victims of abuse twice a year for the last 9 years. So the personal commitment of bishops to attending to, understanding and responding to victims of abuse is there to be seen. What we have not achieved and what we recognise as inadequate is the extent of that response, its consistency, and the way in which it is sustained over longer periods. And in the statement that you have, we say very clearly that in this, we have not been adequate. And therefore, we've asked our National Safeguarding Commission to renew its efforts, to work with our full support with the bodies who work with survivors to develop what we call a care pathway for victims and survivors, which will help to ensure that we respond appropriately and sensitively to their needs at every stage. And the National Commission, it's important that they do the work because they're the professionals who work on our behalf. We'll continue to work with those groups that are willing to work with them to produce the guidance that we need to provide something that is consistent and coherent. I think alongside of that, we also talked about our work with other vulnerable groups of people. So, for example, we spent some time listening to the work of those who work on behalf of the Bishops' Conference with people who have been trafficked. So human trafficking. You will know this is a huge problem around the world. 2.4 million people a year get caught up in human trafficking. And it is suggested that annual profits generated by this are as high as $32 billion a year. UK is mainly a destination country, and it's largely victims for sexual exploitation who end up here. And we have, as a Bishops' Conference, been developing its pastoral care for vulnerable migrants in the face of the increased demand for trafficked women, men and children. We have an Office for Migration Policy within the Bishops' Conference, which works in a very effective partnership with the Metropolitan Police Service to raise awareness of the impact of human trafficking and to see how practically we can respond. So we're promoting another seminar on the 1st of December for representatives from around the country to see how we can have a better response to people in desperate need in those circumstances. We also heard of the Apostleship of the Sea working with abandoned seafarers. Seafarers coming into British ports, they're sick, they're discharged from the ship and they're left in hospitals or hostels. And the Apostleship of the Sea, the Catholic organisation, works quite coherently and generously with them. And every now and then we have requests for further work on people who disappear at sea, fall overboard or whatever. And we learned that this is actually outside any crime investigation control, and we're trying to play our part in that. In terms of our response and awareness of vulnerable people around the world, we heard reports from bishops who have been to Zimbabwe, to the Congo, to Rwanda, and to Kenya. And each of those African countries faces enormous difficulties, to which, mainly through CAFOD, we try to engender a generous response. And another group of vulnerable people with whom we have a particular concern are the Christian people in the Palestinian areas of the Holy Land. So, for example, it was interesting that in the last couple of years, 17 members of the Bishops' Conference have travelled to the Holy Land, and all of them make it a priority to be alongside Christian Palestinian groups. I was there for 7 days last week, and, for example, in the parish of Bet Jala, which is just outside Bethlehem, we were there more or less at the time when over 50 families were handed the orders from the Israeli authorities that their land was going to be expropriated. So many of those families who have held that land for generations and generations and the homes will find them gone unless we can help in some way a reconsideration of that intended policy, which is to do with the continuation of the security wall, the separation wall. And for many of the 100 parishioners who were on that pilgrimage with me, this was their first experience of what it's like to live in an occupied land, under occupation. And I think it touched them very deeply and has created a real sense of compassion and solidarity for some of the people who are very vulnerable at this time. Now, another topic that obviously we spent some time reflecting on and coming to one or two decisions, which I think you have statements, was on the whole area of education, and Father Marcus will speak about that.
Yes, there were two statements that were made, one relating to fair funding for Catholic schools. Clearly, with the apparent demise of local education authorities, there is a concern as to how voluntary aided schools, Catholic voluntary aided schools, will continue to be funded. So there is a desire to request from the Secretary of State the assurance that voluntary aided schools will not be disadvantaged in any way and that they will be continue to be funded fairly. The second was regard to academic standards in Catholic schools. A number of Catholic schools around the country, England and Wales, are below the floor targets, and the whole vision of Catholic education is not separated into Catholic ethos and academic standards. The two are very much united. So for a school to be a good, successful Catholic school, we also expect high academic standards. So the Catholic Education Service of England and Wales has been asked by the bishops to develop further strategies alongside their diocesan partners to ensure that the Catholic sector has schools which are offering a high standard of Catholic education to our pupils.
Okay, we can come back over these. I'll just go through all the topics and then you can pick out what you like. We also spent some time, again, you won't be surprised to learn, reflecting on the proposal announced by the Prime Minister to introduce legislation to establish same-sex marriage in England. I think that process has already started in Scotland and in Wales. And this is the line that we began to develop, though there's time before that formal consultation begins. As a church, we're very committed to the notion of equality. So that people are treated the same across all the activities of life is right and proper. So we would be, and there are plenty of church documents stating this, against all forms of unjust discrimination. Secondly, we are clearly a church that holds great store by the value of commitment in relationships and undertakings that people give. Stability in society depends upon the reliability of commitments that people give. That might be in offering to do a job, to undertake something, but especially in their relationships one with another. Equality and commitment are both very important and we fully support them. But equality and commitment do not amount to marriage. Marriage has a particular component to it. And it is, as has been consistently the understanding across the ages, it's a commitment between a man and a woman which is open to the generation of new life, therefore unfolding into parenthood. So yes, we are right behind those who speak for equality and commitment, and they are very, very important qualities in society, but they don't equal marriage. And we need to make that distinction between the values of equality and commitment in relationships and the actual nature of marriage itself. We also spent quite a bit of time in our conference thinking about our own priorities and our own strategic thinking for the next few years. There are many reasons for doing this. One, of course, is that we, like everybody else, are under financial stringency at the moment and therefore have to plan carefully and responsibly. And overall, what we came to was a willingness to see our work as a bishops' conference having two distinct parts to it. One is under the title of a bishops' conference. And that is, if you like, a statutory body with particular status within the Universal Catholic Church, and certain duties flow from that. On the other hand, we see ourselves as bishops in conference. So the bishops of the Diocese of England and Wales coming together to talk about our concerns, our anxieties, our priorities. And we're going to develop that as a distinction and as a way of using our resources more flexibly and in a more focused way. So just for your interest, kind of, some of the priorities that emerged for bishops in their diocese would perhaps be easily expressed like this. There was a real concern that we regenerate our whole sense of presenting the gospel to a society, and that is, in the jargon, summed up in the phrase, the new evangelization. So then we asked ourselves, what are the conditions and circumstances in which that is best done? Firstly, by fostering a genuine and ever deeper relationship with Christ in faith through holiness. And then secondly, we asked ourselves, who are the key players in this? And we thought it is the family, young people, and the clergy. And then we thought to ourselves, what is the key test of this? And one of the key tests of this, its credibility, is our generosity and thoughtfulness of response to those in need around us. So we spent a great deal of time thinking about how, as a church, we respond to the evidently growing social need and poverty around us. And we resolved, as you see in one of those statements, that we will put resources into helping every diocese to reflect on what it does, to seek greater collaboration and coordination of what it does, an exchanging of strengths between the different initiatives in the diocese, and seeing how all of that, at a national level eventually, can form a clear point of advocacy, of informed advocacy on behalf of those who are really feeling the strain of difficult circumstances in our society today. So that's a quick overview of our priorities as they sketch out, which it'll be Father Marcus's job to translate into something more specific with its ramifications for the detailed use of resources. And I think that's enough from me for now.
Archbishop Vincent Nicholls there, President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.